We are doing Mission Academy. It's Tuesday, April 21st, 12:45. And we'll read the logistics. On March 17th, Governor Newsom issued Executive Order M2920 related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The executive order allows state bodies covered by the Brown Act to hold public meetings via teleconferencing. Got that. As such, the April Charter School Governing Board members meeting will be held via the format of teleconferencing. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting telephonically, I guess, by dialing the conference line listed above, and may submit written comments for prior consideration to the board members. Comments can be submitted to B. Mendoza, Mission Academy, hs.org. Public comments on the day of the meeting can also be given during the public comments section of the public meeting. And we have accommodations for any individual with a disability somewhere. All right. So now we're at the opening item. We're going to call the meeting to order. We're going to call attendance. Carol Stanford, present. Claudette Death, present. Mike Malloy,
present.
John Dorch,
present.
And Barbara Willebrand. Barbara?
I'm sorry, present.
Okay, all right. So now we're going to do the Pledge of Allegiance, and we're going to ask Claudette to lead that, please.
Yes, go on. Put your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. At this time, we're going to have staff introductions, and we're going to start with corporate officers. Say your name and your position.
Yes, Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer.
Terry Vincent, Corporate CFO Secretary. And that's it for the officers.
It is. So we'll go now to school site. School site.
Hi, this is Christine Cassidy, Area Superintendent.
Anybody else? All right, the school legal.
Bill Thompson, Cranston School.
Sorry, the last one we didn't hear.
Oh, Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
Okay, I'm sorry. Then
it's legal for Bill Thompson.
All right, I think that was Michelle Lopez. It was hard to hear it. Advisors or anyone who supports us.
Sorry, that was Darla Pelferman. I'm on Bluetooth and you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, Darla's with our office. Thank you.
Okay.
School legal, yes.
Okay, so now advisors or anyone who supports us. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Pita Sarisi. I'm the Chief Financial Officer with LLAC.
That's Sally Mayoral, Senior Director of Finance with LLAC.
Claudia Wall, Senior VP of Finance with LLAC.
Hi,
this is Michelle Lopez, Counsel, LLAC.
Okay.
Paul Perkin, Senior VP of People Services, LLAC.
All right, good. Anyone else? All right, so now we're going to approve the agenda for the April 21st, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. So I'll need a motion and a second.
Mike Malloy makes
a motion. Back, I'll make a motion.
So Mike and Claudette.
One is moved and one is seconded. So we're going to
take you.
Are there any questions or discussions on this before we vote? I should have asked that first. I'm sorry. So let's go ahead and vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Depp,
but aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So E has been passed. So now we're on F. Approved minutes of the March 3, 2020 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors. Any questions or discussion on that? Can I have a motion and a second?
John Dorch, I move to approve.
Alda Willebrand, second.
Perfect. All right, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Betts?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so we're done with that. So now we're on the consent agenda, and that is passed. So consent agenda A, 2A, all items listed under consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. Is there anyone that wants one of these removed? There's only one on here, so... all right, so I can believe that we can go. Are there any questions or discussion? This is the board will be asked to approve the revised EL master plan. So can I have a motion and a second?
Mike Malloy will make a motion.
I'll second that.
All right, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
John Dorch?
Aye.
I'm sorry. Okay, and Mike Malloy?
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
All right, so now we're on three, public comments. And let me read this. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matters jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. If you would like to participate in public comment, you must have signed in before the commencement of the meeting. Also, our teleconference line is open to members of the public who wish to participate in public comment. The time allotted per presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, except in the case where a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. The total time allotted for public comments will not exceed 18 minutes per agenda item. All right, so is there anyone from the public who would like to state their name or to speak?
Hi, this is Vanessa Mendoza reporting that no public comments have been submitted.
Thank you, Vanessa.
You're welcome.
All right, so now we're on 4, school reports and information. And this is area superintendent update, Dr. Kaysen.
Yes, hi, board. Thank you for convening virtually during this COVID-19 pandemic. So I wanted to start with an update on COVID-19 and the school. We remain opening and functioning as normal. Did not do much disruption to our normal practice. Teachers and staff are focused on student well-being and mental health first and foremost. So all phone calls, make sure that the students are in a safe place and check in on their mental health. And we feel that is very important. We recently sent a card to all our students that was titled Sending You a Hug, and the inside of the card said just letting you know someone cares about you. We sent that about 2 weeks ago, and we just wanted to make sure the students were receiving something uplifting in the mail, and we plan on sending another card this week and then every 2 weeks until the shelter in place is lifted for the students. Just thinking that sometimes positive mail makes a big difference in your life, especially if your mail is full of bills and negative things going on. We have 2 students who indicated that they did not have food to eat. So we have went out as a school and purchased food and delivered it to them while making sure that our staff member was safe delivering it to them. And then while we were doing that, we were also getting them connected with food banks and other resources in their area, using our SEIA partnership to provide them additional support. So we just provided food in the interim while we were getting them the connections that they needed to sustain long-term. We are also updating our website anytime we hear of any new resources and making sure we direct our students and our families to the website. And we're trying to get our website so students can have it translated into multiple languages. So we're looking at some plugins for that. Due to COVID-19, we opened a spring intersession, allowing students to enroll to take up to 2 courses during an 8-week time period, of which we're about halfway through right now. Mission Academy has about 60 students participating in that. Our thought was, during the time when schools were closed, a lot of our students have siblings in a traditional school environment, and the parents didn't know what to do. So we wanted to make sure that they had an option that was free and available to them to either make up some courses that they had failed previously or to just finish out some courses that they were taking. Families were very appreciative of that. The state has canceled all state testing for this year, including the LPAC. So our plans for that were canceled because we couldn't test our students face-to-face. We are still encouraging our students to take their NWEA test because they can do that remotely, and that data is important to show that they're actually learning. Students are connecting more with teachers, according to what the teachers are reporting out to myself and the leadership team. They're more engaged educationally. They're logging in and completing more work than before this whole stay-at-home issue went out. So the what I'm hearing is interesting that the teachers are reporting out, the students are calling them, and then when they get asked, they hear the parents in the background. The student will say, well, I'm on the phone with my teacher. I need it to be quiet, and I'm doing work, doing schoolwork, which is totally opposite. It's like a whole 180 from what they were saying before. They would ignore our phone calls or not want to talk to us. But now that they're stuck at home with their parents, they'll gladly talk to a teacher. So it's been good for us and our students. We've been working to graduate students. We've had 3 that graduates recently that were able to complete their credits because they were stay at home and prior to this they were working. So it was nice to help them get their diplomas so they can be more employable when all this is over. Our staff are doing well. They're all working from home, although we have both of our offices open because we have seasonal staff on board to support the seasonal enrollment. Some increase in staff has happened during this whole thing. We've hired 1 special education teacher, 2 full-time regular teachers, a school psychologist, and a regional education specialist who will work to develop our online drive program. We had to do hiring because we've seen an increase in enrollment over the past few months, and we need to address that and make sure we're maintaining compliance with our teacher-to-student ratio. We are still trying to hire another special education teacher, another teacher, and a special education program specialist. So I'm going to end my update with a breakdown of our current enrollment. As of Monday, yesterday, we have 377 students. That does not include our intercession students that are participating in spring intercession. These are all full-time students. Our students are ranging in age from 11 to 24. We're still about 50-50 on gender. We're about 20% special education students and about 11% English learners. We have approximately 4% that are classified as homeless. Our counselor has been reaching out to students and been telling their teachers that they now have no home due to COVID. So we're working on making sure that we're connecting them with the proper resources and identifying our students correctly. And we have 15 graduates as of yesterday. That number continues to grow, and we have about 10 more in line to graduate this school year, if not more. So that concludes my update. Does the board have any questions or need anything clarified?
That's great. Anybody else want to comment?
Put it back. I just want to thank you, Christine, for keeping in touch with the kids, because I know how important that is, especially with the kids that you're trying to educate and make their lives much happier. So thank you.
All right, is that it? All right, so
yes,
now we're on
okay.
Okay, the LCAP goals and that matrix, and that, again, Christine, that's you again.
Yes. So for the LCAP, we need to get stakeholder input, and the board is part of our stakeholders. We have sent out surveys to our parents and our students and our staff to get their input. The California Board of Education recently added some new metrics to our LCAP. And I want to share what those are. They include chronic absenteeism, which are students who are absent for more than 2 learning periods, English learner progress indicator, the assessment results from the dashboard in English, mathematics, and science, CTE pathway completion, A through G completion rate, advanced placement rate, and early assessment program, which includes the 11th graders tested within the CAP. So those are the new metrics that the state has put into place for our LCAP. There's some areas that I want to focus on that we have direct control over, which is increase in student retention, which is goal 1 for us. Our retention rate currently is about 93%. Our attendance rate is about 66%. So we do have some areas to improve there because we need to get our attendance rate up. We would like it to be, our goal is 85% or higher. Goal number 2 is to increase our credit completion. The overall average number of credits per LP for our students is currently 1.8. Our goal that the team has set is we want to increase the average of credits completed to 4 per LP. So we have some work there. Goal number 3, students will gain skills for college and career readiness. So a couple highlights in this section that we could use some input on, actually. Number of students in career-ready courses. Right now, we do not have a CTE teacher, credential teacher, in Mission Academy. So that means that our students who are actually taking the courses cannot get credit as a CTE course. So that number is 0. Percentage completing a CTE course is also 0%. That's actually completing a CTE pathway. We do now have pathways available to us through our APEX learning curriculum. So if we can find a CTE teacher, we can definitely make some changes there. And goal number 4 is to increase stakeholder engagement. Some areas here to focus on are just our parents, advisory, and LPAC participation. We've had 4 meetings this year with very little participation. So I would like to ask the board if you have any input into our LCAP goals, anything you would like to see or any recommendations that you have.
Hope you get a teacher soon. We need one.
Madam President, this is Jeff Brown. Christine, is there teaching programs online that these students could take if they're available?
Yes, we have the curriculum available. We have to have the CTE credentialed teacher so that the courses actually count as CTE courses.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? We're on to C, finance update, budget planning. Dr. Casey.
Yeah, so it's finance budget time of the year. So I've been working with my controller, and we've been evaluating the expenses that we had this year in our budget and the unexpected items that may have come up. And we've been looking at our projections for the next school year with our seasonal enrollment in July and August, and the ADA that comes from that, and then comparing it to expenses that we had in last year and the prior year. And so we're working on a pretty solid draft of our budget and getting ready to have the overall finance team review it, make sure that we're on track and everything looks good and we're doing all our spending correctly. One thing to note, though, we are spending a little bit more heavy on the staffing side because we have less expenses other places such as facilities and things like that. So we are looking at the staffing and looking and filling in places for like a CTE teacher, more special education support because we have 20% of our students are fed, things like that.
Did we have to purchase, this is Carol, did we have to purchase computers at all for students? Did everybody have access?
Yes, we do have to provide laptops and Wi-Fi if students do not have access. So that is built into our budget as well. We loan them to students as needed.
All right. Okay. Any other questions, anybody?
I just wanted to add, this is Claudio from LLAC. Thank you, Christine. She was great describing the budget process. Just wanted to inform the board about the challenges that the school is facing on its budget this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. There are going to be final information about the statutory COLA for year 2021 from the state's May revision, and there also might be some potential deferrals that according to FIGMA could come as soon as June 2020. So these two factors are going to affect the budget, the COLA, and payment deferrals are going to affect the cash flow. The impact could be up to, right now, the estimated COLA is about 2.5% for next year. And depending on the state's budget, they might go all the way to zero. In that case, that would be the worst case scenario. That would impact the school's revenue in about 2.5%. So, Christine is identifying discretionary expenditures in the budget. So to see if she can reduce and prepare, the school, for next year. And also, due to the deferrals, Christine is also taking a look at possibility to delay some discretionary purchases or services depending on the school's cash condition.
Any questions, anybody? Thank you, Claudio. All right,
Thank you.
Now we're going to move to D, updates. Filing process for annual form 990, return of organization exempt from income tax. And that's Jerry Vincent.
Hello, just to remind you, form 990 is an income tax return. It is in the process of being completed. We will file timely, and the board will be provided with a draft copy of that form 990 when available. Thank you.
All right. Any questions or comments? All right. E, legal update, COVID-19 and legislative matters. Bill Thompson.
Yes. I'll just briefly inform the board that, as you've heard already from the reports, much has had to be taken care of on the educational side and really quick and just had to be dealt with right away. Similarly on the financial side, and you heard both of those reports, this is legal because what's going to happen now is, of course, in the legislative arena, there's going to be some competing interests for the resources available. Just want to assure the board that we'll make certain that with our legislative support and the support we have from our service provider, both in the educational area and in the administrative area, that we're paying very close attention to this and wanting to make sure that independent study and online learning is going to get its share of what will be coming and that's going to be very important. So So we'll make certain that that happens as much as we're able to do so, and make sure that this board is informed as this goes along. We won't have another meeting till June. If anything is especially important, we will make certain that you're made aware of it as quickly as possible.
That's my legal report, Jeff.
Any questions for Bill? Discussion? All right, so we're now on the 2020-2021 board meeting dates, and we know they're all on PDF file on our board site. So any questions about that? We'll go to action item 5. The board will be asked to approve the Small Business Administration Payroll Protection Program loan application. And this is Jerry Vincent.
Yes, thank you, President. I just want to remind you all that, bring to your attention that we did, in fact, with the President's permission, compile the applications for the Payroll Protection Act, which is an act from the federal a program from the federal government that protects payroll for small businesses. And our applications are prepared, they're in the queue, and I was reminded by our financial expert that although our apps are ready at the bank and in the queue, they have not yet been approved, and they are waiting for additional funding to be voted on, which we believe the additional funding is happening today. But I will defer to our financial expert to explain the nuances of the program.
Hi everyone, this is Keisha with LLHC. So I'll just give you a broad overview and the timelines about what has happened and what action item we need from the board. So the federal government is stepping in to help with the payroll protection program, which was included in the coronavirus aid relief of economic security, which is also known as CARES Act. It was passed on March 27, 2020. And the Payroll Protection Program provides forgivable loans to help small businesses stay afloat during the COVID-19 crisis. The application was submitted through our Hanmi Bank, and loans are backed by Small Business Administration, or also known as SBA. So final SBA application was released on April 3rd, and an immediate emergency meeting was held with the area superintendent and the officer of the corporation on April 3rd, 2020 for approval to proceed with the application. The officer of the corporation, Jerry, contacted the board president on April 3rd, 2020 to explain the PPP federal loan availability and receive approval to apply and also provide additional information at today's meeting. The board president approved. So at this time, the application has been completed, and it was submitted to Hanmi Bank the week of April 6th with all the supporting documentation. On April 10th, the bank confirmed that the application was submitted to SBA, and the estimated time for processing is 2 to 3 weeks. You all have heard in the news that SBA ran out of funding, so our application is in the queue. It's waiting for approval. Today, Senate has agreed on additional $300 billion of funding, but it's not voted on. So we're hoping that is voted on, and if so, we will hear from our home bank. But once that happens, then the bank will proceed to provide the school a promissory note to be signed by the authorized officer. The loan is a 2-year unsecured at 1% interest, with interest deferred for 6 months, and the loans are guaranteed by U.S. SBA. Within the next 2 years, if the school is funded,
if the funding within the 8 weeks after the time that the funding is in the bank, which is $503,900, that's the amount that the school has applied for, then it will be spent according to the guidelines. We can apply and forgive the funds. The funds are forgivable. So we need an action item in case the school receives this money and the laws are approved by SBA through Hommy Bank, that we can accept, the school can accept the fund. And that concludes my section.
Any questions?
I'll be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Any discussion or questions? So I need a vote, a motion to approve 5A and a second.
I have
no idea if we'll get that. Okay, so Mike Malloy and Barbara Willebrand, motions and seconds. Yeah. Okay, so now we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
Don George?
Aye.
Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
So the board has voted in 5A. So now we're on 5B. The board will be asked to review the employee benefit plan and ratify the actions taken by the officers to enable the employees of the school to participate in the plan. Dr. Casey.
Hi, board. I have a little information about this. The Learn for Life Employee Welfare Benefit Plan is a multiple employer welfare plan, MEWA for short, and designates the employer sponsor of the plan. Participation in an MEWA allows the charters access to better benefits and lower premium rates. Desert Sands is the first charter school in the Learn for Life network of charter schools. Many of the listed insurance contracts were first entered into by Desert Sands. As the network of schools expanded, additional schools were added to existing insurance contracts. The collective purchasing power helped reduce the cost of insurance. For example, the more employees included within the insurance group, the better the premiums. Employees can change employment from one school to another without a lapse in coverage. Benefits administration is more efficient. Perhaps most importantly, new schools are sometimes grandfathered into particular coverages that would not otherwise be available under new contracts. We are requesting the board to approve the current plan. And if the board has any questions, Nicole Perkins is on the line and can help answer those questions.
All right. Nicole, would you like to say a few words?
Actually, it sounds like that pretty much covered it. I'm going to come on to one question.
All right. So the board have any questions or discussion? Can we have a motion and a second, please?
John Dorch.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve the employee benefit plan.
Okay, so John Dorch and Claudette.
Claudette.
Right. Okay, so now we'll vote. Carol Sanford, aye. Claudette.
Aye.
Mike Malloy.
Aye.
John Dorch.
Aye.
And Barbara Willebrand. So the board has voted on 5B and passed it. So now we are on 5C. The board will be asked to approve the purchase of Apex Learning Digital Curriculum for the 2020-2021 school year. And this is Dr. Kasich again.
Hi, board. I would like to bring to you our justification for the Apex Learning purchase. Prior to our decision to request a contract, we reviewed several different vendors: Apex Learning, Edmentum, K-12, Strong Mind, and Edgenuity, to name a few. Products have similar catalog offerings. All are accredited and have A through G course lists. Pricing varies greatly between the products, from $250 per license to $1,500 per license. Licensing varies between products, from one student equals one license with access to a specific number of courses, to one license equals unlimited number of courses per student and is reusable. We reached out to Apex Learning to provide a contract for Mission Academy to, for 5,770 licenses for both courses and tutorials for a fee of $90 per license. Licenses are reusable throughout the school year. Each license provides students access to courses and tutorials. The catalog includes courses for grades 6 through 12, providing core curriculum, electives, world languages, and career tech education courses. Tutorials provide remediation support as well as ACT and SAT prep courses. Mission Academy will have two on-site professional development days. We're purchasing with this contract for a rate of $4,400. We will have unlimited web-based support for free. Overall, Apex provided the most complete educational offerings for our teachers and students. Past student success and parent feedback supports our decision to move forward with our Apex contract for the 2020-2021 school year. I believe that the actual contract is included in your packet. The total cost for Mission Academy is $523,700. We have also negotiated payment due January 2021. So our payment is deferred to January to help us based on our funding and when our funding comes in from the state. Does the board have any questions?
Well, this is quite a bit. I was just wondering, so it's deferred, so that's great. So Claudio, do you think that deferral is going to be enough time to help? I know you need the product, and that's not a problem. I just was kind of wondering if that was the timing. It sounds like a good idea.
Yes. Well, the school has multiple sources of funding or financing in this case. So even with deferrals, I think the school is prepared to get financing in different ways, including this as strategies that Christine might have in place, or additional funding through the loans and so forth.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if I answered your question.
Well, no, yes, you did. No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
This is Carol Stanford. Eventually, I'd like to see a demonstration of the program. I'd like to see how it works and stuff. It just sounds intriguing and interesting.
Definitely. I can arrange that.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Any more questions? That's something we're going to wait to hear on. It's a lot of money, but it's for a good cause, so we'll see where we're going with it. All right. So can I have a motion and a second for 5C?
I make a motion to accept the proposal in 5C.
Is that Barbara Willebrand?
I'm sorry, yes.
Cut it back, I'll second that.
All right, thank you. So it's been motioned and seconded, so we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Mike Malloy?
Aye.
John Dorch? John Dorch? Barbara Willebrand?
Aye.
I don't know where John went, but we have passed it.
Hey, you, John? Yes, it is. John, I was actually disconnected, and yes, I approve for the item.
Okay, we forgive you. That's good. All right, so that's passed. So we passed 5A, B, and C. Thank you, Paige. So now we're moving to 6, additional corporate officers and board members, starting with Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Christine, I just want to say to you that taking that step to reach out to these students of yours and providing a positive male program, that is just incredible. To understand the feelings that these kids have and to let them know that people care. Your positive male comes to me when you make these presentations to us. So I'm always excited about that and thank you. Finance department, I've got to congratulate you people. It's hard work done quickly and done for the benefit of everyone. Again, it's another thank you. So, and the rest of the staff, I have to say thank you. Now the board, we don't get to see you anymore, facially, but loving hearing your voices. Thank you so much, also.
Oh, thank you.
That's what I have to say. Thank you.
So yeah. Jeff Brown and I make a good team, right? Because I'm always just saying ditto, but I really want to carve out that positive mail that you, Christine, have sent out and you and your staff have sent out. What a thoughtful idea for a mailbox filled with demands for payments and negative things possibly, that you were thoughtful enough to send out those good-hearted, positive messages. You are a class act, Dr. Cassis. You are a class act, and I'm so honored to support you and serve you as well as the board. So thank you so much.
Any other board member comments? All right. Being none, we're going to ask for a motion to adjourn.
Claudia Beck, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, so Claudette and Barbara have motioned and second. So we'll vote. Carol Stanford, aye. Claudette Beck?
Aye.
Michael Roy?